The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show at 9:05 on Tuesday, the 14th of February. How are you keeping? I hope you're very well indeed, and hopefully you're along for the ride for the next 3 hours on the county's biggest radio show. And we also want you involved in it, by the way. WhatsApps and text to 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. Give us a call on 07491 25000, Carol and Orr taking your calls, of course. And if you want to email the show, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And also, if you want to watch the show, as I remind you each morning, for those just tuning in for the first time, you can go on to YouTube on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, tablet, wherever. Watch us there. And same applies to Facebook Watch or the Facebook app. Just search Highland Radio. Like and subscribe, by the way. I know lots of people say it, but it does actually make a difference. Right, OK, let's look at the newspapers this morning. Donegal Democrat, new council has mica priorities. New councillor, I should say. Donegal's newest councillor is currently in the process of moving from his mica defective block affected home and says he knows firsthand the frustration of what thousands are currently going through. Port McGarvey was co-opted onto Donegal County Council yesterday, Monday, at a special meeting at HQ in Lifford. He will replace his uncle, Ireland's oldest public representative, 92-year-old Ian McGarvey, who has decided to retire. A native of Rathmullen, Park McGarvey is 34 years old and married to Marie Claire. They have three children. The incoming councillor said he was looking forward to the opportunity of representing the people and continuing upholding his uncle's commitment to serving the people. On to the Irish Independent now, and perhaps not necessarily good news if you're waiting for your NCT. You will be due an NCT because plans to cut huge NCT backlog are thrown into chaos. Plans to cut national car test backlogs have been thrown into chaos as the operator is set to abandon plans to hire lower skilled staff. The move by Applus is anticipated after mechanics rejected proposals to bring in a new category of worker to step up inspections. Applus wanted to recruit assistants known as inspection support personnel and planned that they would carry out the less skilled early stages of testing. The final stages, which involve checking the underbody of vehicles, would still be conducted by fully qualified mechanics. The Labour Court recommended that the plan should be ruled out on a trial basis, or rolled out, should I say. However, 87% of SIPTU members rejected its recommendations in a ballot last month. SIPTU argued that inspection support personnel lacked appropriate qualifications and would undermine its members' job security. There are an estimated 375,000 cars on the road without a valid cert or of roadworthiness, which is more than double the normal amount. So what do you think about that? I mean, I can understand maybe where the workers are coming from. They could see this as some kind of a ruse to ease them out and maybe have lower paid workers in their place. I'm not sure as to their motivations, but there you go. It's not good news if you're waiting for your NCT anyway. The Irish Times tells us that a businessman owed money by a GEA star who's now under investigation for fraud has claimed that the sportsman was playing golf at a time he said he was overseas receiving cancer treatment. The millionaire businessman secured a debt judgment against the retired player for tens of thousands of euro after lending the sports star a six-figure sum at a time when he had told him that he was to be undergoing treatment in the US. The entrepreneur is one of several friends, acquaintances and business associates of the former player who were owed debts by him and who have made statements to the Guardian. As we heard from our own Brendan Devaney yesterday, he himself had been contacted by this individual, and Brendan concluded that, I mean, he's an awful long way from where this former player is, so he must have been desperate. He must have been casting that net incredibly, incredibly wide. Well, the former GEA player is being investigated for alleged fraud and deception by detectives from the National Garda Economic Crime Bureau. A number of people who had given him money believe he did not have cancer and have made complaints to the Garda claiming that they were deceived into giving him money. It's a really unfortunate story on so many levels. The government could soon be feeling the ire of the farming community. because farmers have warned there will be nothing short of an uprising in rural Ireland if vicious measures are applied to the agriculture sector to meet net zero targets. It comes as senior government sources acknowledge that the suggestions contained in a report reveal one of the most politically challenging issues it faces. The Irish Daily Mail reported on Saturday that Ireland would need to quadruple its afforestation targets, reduce the number of livestock by 30%, and re-wet 90% of reclaimed land if the agriculture sector is to meet net zero targets. The government has committed to reaching net zero for carbon emissions by 2050, so the work really needs to start now. But the Irish Farmers Association yesterday warned if some of the headline scenarios outlined in it were to proceed, it would be completely unacceptable to the association and its members, and it would cause, let's go to page six, it would cause nothing short of an uprising in rural Ireland. So some of the proposals, 30% reduction in herds effectively, and a huge increase in afforestation, and then of course the re-wetting of 90% of reclaimed land if the agricultural sector is to meet net zero targets. We're looking to speak to farming reps over the course of the morning, obviously. That work's ongoing. Irish consumers forked out around three times more for energy compared to multi-billion euro corporate giants over the course of a year, new figures show. State-owned Electric Ireland, Energia and Bord Gáis were charging some multinational customers much less than their domestic counterparts from 2021 until last year when prices started rising. Some multinational customers paid between 6 and 12 cent per kilowatt hour during that time, while Irish companies were forking out over between 15 and 43 cent, for example. Electric Ireland charged US-based Boston Scientific, who have an operation in Cork, 12.25 cent per kilowatt hour for electricity last year, while German transport group Kuhn, Nepal, I believe it is, or Nagel, I think, paid 12.73 cent. And in 2011, Canadian electronics giant Celestica paid Electric Ireland 6.17 per kilowatt. US drug maker West Pharmaceuticals were charged 7.22 cent per kilowatt by Energia last year. By comparison, Irish families paid between 43 and 45 cent per kilowatt hour for their electricity last month, according to the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. In 2021, the typical rate was between 15 and 18%. So were we mugs? Were we effectively subsidising multinationals? It looks like it. In a statement sent to the Irish Sun, Electric Ireland claimed they made no distinction between multinational and domestic companies and offer competitive rates to all customers. But anyway, something was going on there. We were paying through the nose, and multinationals with plenty of money seemed to have been getting a really, really good deal there. Ireland well placed for a good 2023, we read. Now, this on the face of it sounds good, but as I said before in this show many times, there are, I think, multiple economies within Ireland. Overall, for some, they're going to do okay. Some companies are going to do okay, but I don't think this recognises the fact that many, many, many people and an increasing number of regular people are struggling, and many regular businesses also are struggling. But anyway, we'll read on and see what we can make from the statements here. The latest global survey from accountancy body ACCA has shown positive signs for Irish economic performance in 2023. That's compared to other major economies around the world, with access to finance and business revenue remaining strong. The accountancy body's Q4 Global Economic Conditions Survey has found that while the global economy is showing signs of steadying, many indicators remain weaker than in previous years. We are outperforming rival countries across a range of important economic indicators. This includes access to finance, with only 5% of businesses there here reporting funding problems, compared to 21% globally. Katrina Alice, head of ACCA Ireland, said, while this year will be challenging, there is an underlying confidence that the Irish economy is well placed to overcome these hurdles. And there's also, as I mentioned, reports that the economy is going to grow by 5% in 2023. Now, that would be good if it trickled down, but it doesn't seem to. The money, the wealth, seems to stay within a small cohort of individuals and companies. But at the same time, you know, we, regular people, are living in what feels very much like recessionary times, where the money you earn or the money you receive is less and less valuable. But anyway, as I say, maybe things might change. The Irish Daily Mirror staying with that. The government's been urged to help people in gas arrears with the same level of enthusiasm they showed big business with 12 years of energy subsidies. New figures provided to an Oireachtas committee show 140,000 households across Ireland are behind on their gas payment. That's an increase of over 54% from the start of 2019, and 91,000 households were behind on payments. And that was just an example there of how, you know, we can talk about the country's doing well, the economy's going to grow, yet you've got hundreds of thousands of people, and gas isn't really routinely available everywhere, hundreds of thousands of people struggling simply to pay the heating bill, you know? Finally, I don't know whether, kind of in two minds as to whether to read this story out, but I presume some of you are still following Enoch Burke's trials and tribulations. He's still apparently still turning up at the school, even though the cameras are no longer there, and he's facing massive fines. And he seems in what he's trying to do, and I'm not really sure at this point what he's trying to achieve. I know he's standing by his principles and everyone's entitled to do that, but I don't know what he's actually trying to achieve or change, or if there is any motivation in that regard. But his mum, his dad, his sister are there, you know, very strongly behind him. Maybe would they be better placed to say, look, it's, you've made your point, because it's not a fight he can win, I don't believe. Maybe he needs more support. I don't know. To sort of maybe say that this is not, you know, that maybe you could do something else. I don't know. I think maybe he just needs someone to speak to him. Gender pronoun row teacher, as is referred to here. Enoch Burke's appeal against an injunction preventing him from attending at Wilson's Hospital School may be scrapped if he remains in contempt of that order, the president of the Court of Appeal yesterday warned. So he's still turning up at school, even though he's been sacked now, right? Officially sacked. He doesn't work there. He's still going to the school, and he wants the, I don't know what he wants the courts to do at this point. Mr. Justice Birmingham's statement was made hours after Gardaí had again physically removed Mr. Burke from a courtroom for interrupting proceedings before Mr. Justice Brian O'Moore. And there's another thing going on here. I mean, there's different classes of us here in this country. I can't imagine, you know, a different type of person, let me put it like that, being able to have such easy access to the courts, left, right and centre. To be dragged out of court by Gardaí and then to walk home. I think if he were from a different background, and I don't know what background that is, by the way, he would be that person, and I'm sure they are on a daily basis, treated very, very differently. So, I mean, obviously, some will feel that he's being mistreated in the wider scale of things. But in terms of him seeming to have unfettered access to the courts, to be able to be dragged physically by the courts and have there's no consequences, I don't think that would apply to an awful lot of people listening to this programme. I think if I tried it, I would be told where to go or probably end up in jail. I'm not saying anyone should end up in jail, but there's a couple of different levels of things going on. I think in that case, it's a bizarre one. All right. Right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, I want to mention to you that for the day that's in it, that being Valentine's Day, someone's just heard that, and you know, there's always some one person that has heard me say that and went, what? Today? Okay, well, it is. Excuse me, we've a couple of prizes to give away a little later on. We've got a basket of flowers from Alcorn's Florist. Alcorn's always produce the highest quality flowers, and we have a basket of flowers to give away. Also, we've got two pizzas and two glasses of house wine in Bida's Corner Bar. Bida's, it's Bida's, isn't it? Bida's. I was right the first time. In Bida's Corner Bar, the deliciously fresh-made pizza is now available in Bida's Corner Bar at the Century Complex. Call Century Complex on 07491-21976 to book your table. So what all we want you to do is text us in, and this is for those that are loved up, let's just put it like that. Text in about your person. Tell us the person that you're with, why you love them, why you're with them. And we'll select two. They'll win those prizes. So we've got a night out of two pizzas, two glasses of wine in Bida's Corner Bar, or a basket of flowers from Alcorn's Flowers. Just message us in. It's an opportunity to tell someone how much you love them. John Wilkie loves me. I know that. John, you can't enter, though. Good morning to you. Can you hear me okay? He's connecting to audio still. All right, John. We'll bear with you. Right, so if you want to win either of those prizes, just text in to us why you love the person in your life so much, what's good about them. I was going to say why are you with them, but it's Don't mean it like that. Right, okay. 086 60 25,000. Text in or WhatsApp. Or if you want to give us a call, it's 074 91 25,000. 074 91 25,000. We can have a bit of fun with that later on. A caller says, I want to give a big shout out to the chef and the good folks at Kelly's Restaurant and Pub in Carrig for their excellent cuisine. Yesterday morning, we were driving back from the Bee Shop in Glencolumb Kill and decided to stop in Carrig to get some breakfast. And I ordered a vegetarian breakfast at Kelly's. It was simply delicious. Kelly's really deserved a couple of Michelin stars for their excellent cuisine. Who would have thought you would find such good food in a Donegal village like Carrig? Well, okay, I know what you're trying to say there, Raymond, who messaged that in, but I wouldn't be surprised. It goes to show. Again, my compliments to the chef and staff at Kelly's. John Wilkie, can you hear me? John, he looks like a pilot here in my screen, but I'm not sure he can hear me. I don't know if the problem's on my end or his end. Maybe we'll get him on the phone. We'll see if he connects in there. A caller says, one night last week, my daughter was driving in the Lisnennan area, Caroline, isn't it? Lisnennan. One night last week, my daughter was driving in the Lisnennan area and a fella dropped his trousers and she nearly went off the road. Then she was aware of it happening. The next night, it was eggs they were throwing, but she avoided them. Then another night, they were throwing flames. I think these are the canisters that we were talking about. If someone panics and swings across the road, there could be untold damage. But what was more annoying was when I rang the Gardaí to send a car out, I was put through to Galway and it was a complete waste of time. Well, you see, unfortunately, that's just the way it is now. I'm not saying it's just a waste of time now. I'm saying, unfortunately, now your calls are going to be transferred to Galway. They go on to say that if I'm being attacked by someone in my house, I have minutes between calling the Gardaí and dying. I don't have time to give directions to a Garda station in Galway. What's going on with the new call system? Well, the reality is that... the reality is that I presume the calls are triaged on seriousness. Right, John Wilkie, are you there? Hello,
hey,
John.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I can see you and I'm listening to you on the phone, so don't pick your nose, all right? Come here. How are you getting on, John?
Getting on great. Happy Valentine's Day.
And same to you, John. Now, you are raising an important issue. You're feeling annoyed as to what's going on in the county. Talk to me about it. Or Letterkenny, particularly, I think.
Well, I'm always kind of getting annoyed about traffic and getting annoyed about rubbish. It's just, I think, since the pandemic or after the pandemic, things have got a bit worse, Greg. It seems to be more people dumping rubbish, and in particular, the Wundy Hall Road, the Killylaston area, Letterkenny. I've been up there now living on. This year, 4 years now in October. And you'd be glad to get two bags or if you're out picking rubbish on a Sunday. But now it's escalated between 9 and 12 bags. I think there's more. We have to go back this weekend again.
What kind of rubbish is it, John?
It's bottles, cans, wine bottles, I mean, nappies particularly, all sorts of stuff. I found tires, people's mats rolled up and a piece of string on them. So it's organized rubbish dumping, if you like. It must be like somebody out for a trip and they just fire the nappies out or they fire the bottles. I mean, there's no call for it. There's a bottle bank nearby up at the shop there at the Apple Green. I mean, the council do provide skips for different people if they want to do spring cleans. The Tidy Town, contact them. I mean, that's what we're here for. But it's just on a Sunday afternoon, I could be away having a meal with my wife or whatever the case may be. I know I'm doing a bit of hiking at the moment, but look, it's just absolutely unbelievable.
Some people will text in, right? And I have sympathy for this point of view. They might say that it's too expensive for some people to be able to dispose of the rubbish, that they simply, that's part of the problem here, that we have to have better access, more affordable access to refuse collection. I suspect that you would not see that as an excuse, a justification for this action.
Look, I know people's gone through hard times. It's tough out there with the price of coal, the price of oil, the price of gas, electricity. We know we're going through a tough time. But hey, wait a minute. They're dumping stuff that could be put in a bottle bank. I mean, they're no culvert. I mean, the worst comes to the worst. If you were in tough times, you could hold on to your bin for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, what is it now, £11 or €11? I know it's tight, but I mean, I don't know. It's just so sad in our environment. I mean, we're trying to push tourism. It's unlikely the Letterkenny Tidy Towns is going to win again. We won it in 2015 with amazing people in the town, the cleaners. I mean, John McLaughlin is a great man there for the council. He's pushing all these different things. I mean, I don't know.
Right, my concern is John, that there's people like you, and we are blessed in this county, and people don't often see them because often they're out really early in the morning keeping the towns and villages clean. You drive through midday and you go, wow, this place looks lovely, but it's not by accident, it's by design because someone like yourself has given up of their time to go out. I just would worry that the goodwill of people like yourself could be broken in that you feel like you're fighting a losing battle. Why should I keep cleaning up after people who don't give a crap about their own county or their own area? You know, and I'm not suggesting you're ready to give up, John, but I wouldn't blame you.
Look, Greg, I'm at it a long time now, 16 years. When I lived over Lower Dromore, we cleaned the dual carriageway. I says, well, that's a mad idea. But look, we did it again there during the pandemic. And 200 bags of rubbish. We've got dog houses. We've got suites of furniture, microwave ovens. I mean, holy mother of God, and the dog. I mean, who dumps a mic? How do you get a microwave out of care window? I mean, what's going on? I mean, I was speaking to the Letterkenny Skip Hire there, people. And they says, look, we'll take anything, John, if anybody wants to deliver it with a plug free of charge.
Yeah.
There's copper, there's metal, there's batteries. I mean, I found it all. You know, a while back there, I found dead pups. I mean, what's the excuse for that?
Heartbreaking. I would hope, it would be lovely if we could appeal to people's conscience, John. It would stop like that. But unfortunately, I don't think, I think history has shown that that's not really the case. And there are some people that just don't give a crap. And sorry to keep using that word, but it's the only way to describe it.
Right.
So what do we do then? Do we start sort of having mobile CCTV cameras that can be moved into hotspots that can nab number plates? Because you have to catch someone in the act or find some evidence of what they've done. Do you know what I mean? So enforcement, the stick, the carrot's not working. So what do you think? I'm sure you've had an opportunity to think about this. What do you think should be done now then?
I think, look, I'm actually doing a course here with the ETV. I'm actually in their room here this morning. I've got a few difficulties with the thing. But I'm talking to young people all the time. And they're very conscious. You know, they're very conscious of cleanliness and things like that. I see them all using the bins and cups all into the bin. You know, so we can't blame the young people. And this is about it. Maybe it's education. But there's no excuse for anybody dumping cups or cans or bottles or nappies along a road. There's no, I cannot, for the life of me, get the better.
See, the problem is, because I want to call it out here, and it's like when we're talking about people that park in spaces that are reserved for people with a disability, okay? Unless it's a very genuine mistake, which is very rare, and I've spoken to an awful lot of people that have challenged people that have said, why are you parking there? Invariably, the person who challenges them is told to F off. So in other words, the person is the type of person that doesn't care, and if they're challenged, they have no problem saying to a stranger, F off, mind your own business. I suspect the people who are dumping, throwing stuff out the window routinely, if you challenge them, they might be the same type of people that would say, F off, I can do whatever I like. So you're not going to, my point is you're not going to appeal to them through words.
Yes, you're right. But people are very hostile now. It's a hostile environment. You can't say nothing. I mean, people will just tell you to F off. What is your business? Why did you go and whatever? It's none of your business what we're doing, you know? But for the rest of us that's pushing tourism, it's one of the biggest industries in the country, bringing people into the town, bringing people into our community. I mean, if the town's not clean, you're giving a bad impression. I was out at the dual carriageway at Manor Cunningham out around that roundabout, you know? And the appearance to the town, you know, I know I do hark on about things, but it's just, I just love the town. I love Letterkenny, you know, and anything to do with annoying people, particularly, say, traffic, rubbish, we shouldn't be, you know, and it's very, very sad that people are like that. Why they would do that, I don't know.
And I think it's fair to say that it's not exclusive to Letterkenny. I'd say there's Tidy Towns reps right across the region now going, it's the same where we are. Let me get to some comments here. Fair play to John for highlighting this. It's about time we faced up to this. The Killyleagh area of Letterkenny is rotten with rubbish and dogfowl. Too many people engaging in this behaviour among all age groups and age brackets. Another, I've noticed a lot of rubbish dumped along the roads in Inishowen the past couple of weeks too. You know, so as I said, and that's to my point, we're not coming down on Letterkenny here. You're highlighting it because that's what you're passionate about. But there does seem to be more of this across our county, across our region, excuse me.
I don't know what happened in 2019 or around the pandemic, but there was less people on the road. Now, it just seems to be, you know, it's hell for anybody can do whatever they want to do. There's nobody brought to book. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't want to be harking on all the time and he's talking about rubbish, but someone has to be done. You know, it's just very, very sad, really. I'm just upset.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
What support could you get then in terms of trying to reduce this, do you think?
Well, even people, I don't know, even in that area, it's a quiet road. That I actually, believe it or not, I said to one of the people in the Tidy Towns, Neil Blockley, I said to him, I'm going to rename Windy Hall Windy Hall, because that's only wine bottles on it. Mm. I mean, I can't understand why. I mean, I found printers, I found fans, I mean, everyone's out the window.
it's not just the towns. I think wasn't it in September we had Donegal beaches ranked as littered. We always talk about dog poo and the problems with that. Yet we had just one dog fouling fine issued in the last 2 years. Excuse me.
Yes.
There is certainly a gap in enforcement because people feel that A, they won't be caught, and if they're caught, they won't be prosecuted. So you're always going to have a certain. Yeah. Person with a certain mindset that thinks, well, if there's no consequence to my actions, why should I put this in my bin when I can chuck it out my window?
You're absolutely right. I don't think anybody really gives two tosses. They don't give two hoots. But I mean, maybe it's the life we're living in, maybe it's the environment. I know there's more important things in the world. I know there's earthquakes and there's pressure from fuel and electricity and all that. But once we lose that love of community, lose that compassion, we're finished. We've got the love of man, the love of humanity, the love of country, God, whatever you want to call it. Once we lose that, it's gone. We're not going to get it back.
We need a reset.
And that's what's happened to
I think we need a reset because there is a, you know, like, I really don't want to get into a different area, but what we have is, in this country a little bit now, we're finding ourselves blaming other people for stuff, right, without actually looking internally, you know, without saying, right, okay, so it must be that person that's doing it, or this must be doing it, or that group of individuals are doing it, as if there was never any littering or crime or assault or anything before,
Greg.
You know what I mean? So we're deflecting here.
And I know you're a man of compassion. You don't like to say it, you don't like to say anything else, but you're a man of compassion of the people, you know what I mean? So if we lose that now in our communities, it's gone. It doesn't matter what they have. If we lose that love of our community, because that's what's lacking in our community now, is a bit of compassion, a wee bit of kindness. Pick up that. Now, why should I do that? You know, it's really very sad. That's all. I just get so compassionate. I remember cleaning, even from my mother. Maybe it's an OCD thing, I don't know, but I always kept the place tidy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the 70s when we had nothing. You know, so it was that kind of, you know, just tidying up and cleaning, and it just extended it, you know, to the community. And it's just trying to, I mean, there's people sitting about doing it, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, there's lots we could be doing. There's lots of people. I mean, I don't know, you know.
But you see, you could get an army of people to clean the country.
Yeah.
But John, that still means that people who feel it's okay to chuck stuff out the window, to throw a microwave out the boot of the car, we're just cleaning up after them. That would be a solution, but it doesn't fix the problem.
Yeah, maybe it's something done now when you get your cups or you get your McDonald's or Four Lanterns, that there's a code on it, and maybe it's connected to you or something. I don't know.
The number plate. Stamp the number plate to the car. You see, if you start finding takeaways, I'm not endorsing that, right? But
No.
You know, what happens is they sort of say, right, well, we're going to have to maybe reduce the amount of packaging we're putting in there. We're going to have to maybe start stamping people's number plates. But then GDPR, you see, Do you know what I mean? So you're screwed every which way.
You remember when we used to smoke in pubs?
No.
And then the idea, well, not smoke in pubs. You know what I mean, Brad? You know, so yeah. it takes that shift, maybe just to... It's going to take maybe a generation to do that.
It's so true. People, you used to sit in a restaurant and the table next to you were smoking like trains and the staff breathing in. You'd never thought that would have changed, yeah.
I remember going to the bingo with my auntie, let's say way back in the day, and you'd be choking. Hold on a minute. You know, and all the halls and all the sports halls are packed with smoke. I remember the boxing club, we were... just a big haze of smoke. It was unbelievable, really. Yeah.
But it goes to show how the public mindset can be changed, which is the point, really, isn't it?
Exactly. So it just takes that wee shift. Why am I dumping stuff out a window? It's a habit. I have to get... It's a bit like an addiction. You can't stop.
Yeah, a caller says, Greg, I watched a woman at a local store one day over the weekend. She cleaned her car out into a trolley. Put the trolley back, I presume, in with the other trolleys, and the bin was right beside her. So he actually emptied the rubbish out of her car into the trolley. Anyone who dumps rubbish has the mentality that someone else will pick up after them. Go to the cinema and see the rubbish that people leave behind them after the film is over and the lights come on. Same mentality, all starts within the home, trying to bring in bin licenses and inspectors going around checking, have each household get two bins and fines if not. It's actually probably quite a good point. I haven't been to the cinema in quite some time, but if you are of a mindset that leave that there, some young girl will come and pick it up after you, why would that be contained within the cinema? Why would you not maybe extend that mindset? Mm. It's a good point. A caller says, on one hand, we're being told we have to... that's to do with farming. I beg your pardon. You wouldn't get away with that carry on in Derry. There's cameras everywhere. That's what's needed in Letterkenny. You know, when I was watching some videos, John, on TikTok, and in certain parts of Britain, they have people that their only job is to police cigarette butts, effectively. You know, they hire private companies, they pay private companies. I'm not saying that's the way we should go down. But that sounds like you see a problem and you come up with a solution here. I remember there was talk at a council meeting I attended, it must be 8 years ago, and apparently there was going to be these mobile CCTV cameras that would be rotated around the county in hot spots of dumping, right? And you never knew where they might be. Do you know, like speed cameras? And I thought, wow, that's a good idea. That seems like we're doing something. But where are these cameras? I don't know. And where are the fines? No one's getting fined for illegal dumping.
We all know if you're travelling on the dual carriageway, you know where the guards are stopped. You're going to slow down. You know, I'm just saying, if you see a speed van, the first thing you do is take the foot off the accelerator.
But it stops speeding in that area, John, the same as if you put cameras in certain areas or they're rotated amongst areas, it stops dumping and it might make it slow down. Yeah, all right.
You know, to slow down. I mean, certainly the idea of the militaristic thing, we're not advocating as the Teddy Town people that we're going to be militaristic, because we found stuff on different people's stuff. And we're not the police. The guards are doing an amazing job. We're not getting involved with the law thing. I just want people to have a wee bit of thought before they start throwing stuff out windows. You know, paper bags, rubbish, dirt. You know, there's no call for it.
Especially bottles, electrical items with a plug. You're in the car already. It's free to dump that stuff.
I even says to the people in the council, why don't we have an amnesty every year where we could dump our stuff or take it to the bring banks free? Mm. You know, because there's metal now, copper, lead, batteries. Mm. It's all valuable.
I would love to see the bottle banks and where you could dispose of clothes and stuff. I'd love to see them cleaned out more so that when people arrived at them, they were empty. And I would love to see greater access to the civic community sites, which are fantastic. You know, but I think they should be opened certainly all weekend and you know, they should be open more widely, because even I struggle really with my sort of working times. I struggle to hit them when they're opened, you know, and the staff in there are very, very helpful and they're a great group of people, don't get me wrong, but I would love to see them opened more and maybe push a bit more what you can get rid of in there for free as well.
How can we make change, Greg? This is what you were talking about earlier. How can we make change? We only can make change when we look in the mirror, look at ourselves, what we're doing today. You know, should I do that? Should I do this? How am I going to help the environment? Mm. You know, look, you were talking about 40 years there about the ecosystems and things like this here. But look, we might be here in 40 years. But if things keep going, things keep deteriorating.
All right, John.
We just have to do a wee bit in our own area.
We have to move on. You quoted so much of Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror there, we almost had to pay him IMRA rights, John.
Man in the Mirror, of course.
Okay.
Right. I love Mike.
Listen,
Michael.
Listen, come
Jackson here. I seen Michael Jackson the way back in the years.
Did you?
Yes.
Live?
Yeah, I seen him at 1988 in Cork.
Really? Was he any good?
Then Mitchelstown, I was amazing. The tickets were £16.
Wow.
It was quite amazing.
Did you retain your ticket?
No, actually, I put it up for a raffle. I think I sold it to my son-in-law.
Really?
He's probably in a Porsche now.
Possibly.
But no, it was just amazing, the music. You know, whatever you want to say else about him, but look, it was just the music. I love music, and I love that kind of love of music, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just think with the way costs are going here, I just think an awful lot of groups, big groups, are looking at their diary and not coming to Ireland. I hope that doesn't persist, but I do notice a couple of big acts seem to be skipping over Ireland for whatever reason.
Well, I don't know if you ever heard tell of Nick Kershaw.
Yeah.
Nick Kershaw was on the theatre one night and he was on his own. So a lot of people are cutting back.
Yeah.
You know, you can do nearly a one-man show now. You know, maybe that's what's happening.
Well, that's Lewis Capaldi was down in Dublin. It was really effectively just him. I mean, he had four people in his band. I'm not sure if they touched the instruments, to be honest with you. He's fantastic, don't get me wrong, but he just nipped into the Three Arena on a Monday night and away he went. Oh, he's fantastic. He was absolutely brilliant.
He's a great voice. He's a good singer, and he's very, very funny.
He is. There was a young audience there, and the only one criticism I had, there was a wee bit of quite strong, crude stuff. But anyway, look, I didn't have any children with me, and parents can make up their own minds. But he is uber-talented. Got nothing at the Brit Awards, in inverted commas, that's what they're called. So really disappointed in that. I thought he deserved something. Anyway, listen, come here. We're rambling on. Michael Jackson, Lewis Capaldi, Nick Kershaw. Which band did he sing with again? Nick Kershaw, was he a solo artist from the 80s and 90s?
The 80s, definitely.
80s. Nick Kershaw. Donald's going to break his leg running in here now to tell us. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, come here, because he'll know. Listen, thanks, John. And it is a serious point you raise, but life has light and shade, you know?
One second before you go. I'm just doing this walk now to Kilimanjaro, if you want to give a wee minute.
No, go on ahead.
2 minutes. And it's just it's for the Irish Guide Dogs at Donegal Branch, and that's happening in June. And anybody wants to support it, I have my own story on that way back in 2015 with my own difficulties and my own adversities. It's well documented. Just to go to kilimanjaro/2023raisley.com.
Well, go to your Facebook page, John Wilkie, and you'll find the links there.
Yeah.
Right, John, keep it lit. And we had Jan, of course, talking about that trip previously.
Yes, you had. Thanks very much.
Touched on the background. Doherty. All right, come here. Keep it lit, John. And don't let them win. Keep up the brilliant work that you do.
If anybody wants to get involved, get on to letterkennytowns.com. And if you want to help in your area, we'll supply the stuff. Or the council. They're very, very good, the council.
Mm-hmm. All right, take care, John. Thank you very much indeed, John Wilkie there. I hope I can connect now to Troy Gallagher, councillor in Islington Council. Good morning, Troy. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Greg. Good morning. Good to see you again.
Good to see you again. Former mayor of Islington as well. We referenced on this show, I've mentioned it and listeners have mentioned it too, about it just seems to be every second post on social media is young ones at the airport. Some of them look about 12, and I mean that's me because I'm getting older, not them. And part of me is excited for the adventure that might have, but part of me is also worried that maybe they feel they've got no choice, that they have to do this, or their parents are saying, look, get out of Dodge while you can, which would be really quite regrettable. There are two sort of groups, aren't there, Troy? Those that are going for the year experience, or those that just feel this country has nothing to offer them.
That's right, and I've had direct contact from a number of people around this issue. As you rightly say, it is about those who are either going to uni and making the decision to further career, to get wider exposure and wider experience, and some hope to come back to Ireland. But for quite a few of them, and it's an emerging trend, they're actually saying we need to leave Ireland. Perversely, not because there's no work, because there's a huge amount of investment companies coming in, but solely because of the lack of housing. The housing crisis is forcing people out. And I think that's a really bad situation for the country to be in. We have done great work on tackling immigration for the past 10 years. When the crash of 2008, people left. But there's so much that's been come back. And I think now when we've got that level of investment coming in, where people see, because they cannot afford housing, they can't get on the housing ladder. If they have a job, they have to move out of the city, which extra cost. There's just no way, even with the current salary they're on. And added to that, Greg, of course, the cost of living, you know. And yesterday, Richard Logue on your show rightly said about the lack of infrastructure and the hope for the railway for between Sligo and Letterkenny and wider. That equally is a huge issue, the lack of being able to get to the places where they can work. And, of course, broadband. And as we know, sadly, the government hasn't met its own targets that it agreed with the EU on the National Broadband Plan. All of that contributes towards the need for people to think there's a lack of hope. And it's that lack of hope that's really worrying me.
Yeah, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. It is the lack of hope that it's a desperate move. Because always as well, and I think Leo Varadkar tried to make the point, but I think he didn't do so very well in that you could be going from the frying pan into the fire too, because the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And some leave, perhaps don't want to come back with their tail between the legs, in inverted commas, and I would never see it like that, by the way. I'm just saying that how they might see it, and end up maybe struggling in a different country without the family network or support. Do you see any of that, Troy?
Yeah, I do, Greg, and I've seen it for quite since 2008, before I became a counsellor. Quite a lot of people come to my surgery and say, when they come over, first of all, Troy, where do I need to go? How do I? And they automatically think, I didn't get on the housing ladder. And of course, people can't get on the social housing ladder. It's a very tight criteria. As I said to the London Irish Centre and to the key organisations around London, we need to relook at how we work with Irish immigrants, because the Irish immigrants, as you know, has changed from the 50s and 60s, where they go to the London Irish Centre. They don't go to the London Irish Centre now for welfare housing. They come to meet the local councillors and say, oh, what can help can you give? Can you give us advice and experience you've been through? And we support and signpost forward. But on the Taoiseach's comments, I was saddened and surprised. You're right, when you look behind the headline of what he said, he was saying, you know, other countries have the same issue, and there is here. But I think if we look at what the way that it was said, I think if we look at what he didn't say, he could have highlighted the amount of positives, acknowledged that for the last 50, 60 years, government policy has accepted immigration as part of its normal to reduce unemployment. They were determined, they should be determined to tackle that. And even if he had that level of empathy to say, you know, it's not a situation that we want to do. We want investment coming in, keep people in our own country. And I understand that Taoiseach's own sister lives in London, and be able to make that personal connection about understanding about immigration and the impact it has.
And then people automatically will see emigration, and then they'll see immigration, and they'll go, well, what's happening here? Right. And that's human. And they're going to question that and what have you. You're going to make representations to the leaders of the three main parties, the three government parties. What message do you want to relate to them, Troy?
Yeah, the message I want to relate to them is based on a wider conversation around all the key community leaders, stakeholders in the Irish community across London, UK. First of all, it is to understand for make them aware about the issues of immigration, how we can actually tackle immigration, but at the same time to getting people back into the country, immigrants returning. Can I just do a big shout out to Donegal County Council, who are really doing great work on this, Gary Martin, Anne-Marie Conlon, and led by Councillor Cian Brogan from the Economic Development Team. They really are punching above their weight, going into London, contracting the City of London to say, how can we reach the residents and bring them back and look at what's on offer? I met with a number of Limerick and Cork, which I remember earlier, to say, who had the conversation with me to try and follow that route. So I think it's how the government works with the local authorities, with the IDA, to be able to bring back a pathway to say to people who are returning, here's what's on offer, and have the realistic view. But they need to be able to put in the employment targets of what's there. They can't just give the aspiration and ambition. They need to have some metrics. Yeah. And they also need to be able to say, here's how we hold ourselves to account going forward in the next 10 years. Here's how many we want to return. Here are the jobs available. And to focus on tackling immigration. Yeah. One other thing, Greg, if I may quickly, is that the current diaspora strategy is coming to an end in 2025. And I think it's now is the time for governments and for the parties to have the conversation with leaders of the Irish immigrant community to contribute towards that and shape a more meaningful, tangible delivery of how they can tackle stop immigrant going, but also increase the coming back.
All right, Troy, I want to get you back on when we've a bit more time. And another thing I noticed, and I kind of just feel for those heading off now, and I'm not, is when I was over in London as a guest of yours on one occasion and a second time for a different thing, is speaking to people kind of my age who were over in London, and they want to come home. All they want to do is come home, but their roots have gone into the ground. And sometimes you feel they're going to spend the next 20 or 30 years or however long they're given hawking for something. And it must be an awful pull on a person to sort of have that desire to go home. But you've got grandkids now in schools in London, or a daughter that's in a relationship, and you can't leave them behind you. And it's great that they've achieved something, but I just hope those leaving now know that the longer you're away, and even though you really want to come home, the more difficult it can be. And it's kind of like a tragedy. Yeah. It's there's happiness there, but there's sadness there.
There is, but also on that point, and you're absolutely right, and that has come across, people are afraid to make the move back and think, what if I move back and it doesn't work out and it's not there? How am I perceived? And I think we need to be clear about the ones, as you rightly say, who have made their life, they have grandkids, and say, I'm here for the rest of my life. There's the other group that wants to come back with family for better quality life. But at the same time, too, Greg, this is what's really important. Why we need to recontract the relationship between government, Ireland, and the relationship with immigrants is because people have a right to still contribute in whatever shape and form. Mm-hmm. And also come up with the ideas and solutions that they've had through their experience. For example, off the top of my head, how to tackle male suicide, which is an issue in Donegal in Ireland, and be able to shape towards it and contribute towards that new Ireland, that new pathway going forward, and have that actual meaningful experience and not just theory or aspiration.
All right, brilliant, Troy. Lovely to see you again. Lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much indeed. All right, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.